So, you know, we finished Mark last week, and we had talked about, as we finished Mark, remember we talked about the ascension of Jesus to the Father and so forth, and the end of the one ministry, and really a beginning of another ministry, or a continue. I don't even like to say it was an end and the beginning, because it's a continuation, right? So when you look at the ascension of Christ, we can say certain things are finished, right? Like, you know, Jesus says, as Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What's finished? The redemption, right? When he ascended to heaven, he could say, "Well, that's finished." What's finished? The victory over sin and death, right? And so when we see, when we see these things, you know, and then there's certain other things that are going to happen after the ascension that are very important. It's a continuation, right? It's a continuation of the ministry of Christ, of Jesus. So how do we continue in all this? The main guy, the main character is missing, right? He's ascended to the Father. He sits on the right hand of the Father with all authority, but he's missing. What happens next? And I think the Holy Spirit is the next continuation of the ministry of Christ. There's more to be done, right? And it's and now we pick up and we see that it's the Holy Spirit within the believer that makes the difference in the world, right? It's Christ in us. And so, you know, so, the Holy Spirit, some people get whacked out by the Holy Spirit, right? They think it's some kind of mystical experience, or they refer to it as an it, and we'll see as we read through the scripture, it isn't an it, it's a he. It's a person of the Trinity, and it is God within us. The Holy Spirit isn't to be afraid of. I think today with a lot of the movements, people get very afraid of the Holy Spirit. God never intended it to be that way. He intended it. Matter of fact, scriptures tell us, Jesus tells us in chapter 14 here that it's a comforter, it's a helper. You know, it's God coming to us, beside us, in us, upon us, all that, so that we can walk in a certain way. You know, we were discussing last week about some of the wackos, right? We had mentioned Menahem and his Holy Spirit coat and all this stuff, and that stuff is disturbing to me, because really it throws the purpose of the Holy Spirit off. The purpose of the Holy Spirit isn't to demonstrate man's power. It's to demonstrate God's power through man. It isn't, man has nothing to do with it, right? It's God showing himself, right? And so I wanted to straighten some of that out, right? Because I want us to be clear that even though the Holy Spirit enables us to do certain things, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, it's important. I think, you know, the source here, Jesus, is going to tell us about what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is in chapter 14 here. So I just wanted to, I felt the need, or I just felt the Lord wanting us to talk about it a little bit, you know, discuss what is it, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. So if we start off verse 1, we're going to go through the whole chapter, but I'll tell you this. We'll probably go through it pretty quickly. In certain portions, we'll slow down and talk a little bit about things, but for the most part, it'll go pretty quick. But it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I love the way Jesus starts out here. He's saying, "Look, don't be troubled by what we're about to discuss or say. Don't be troubled about my what's going to occur in the future." He wants us as Christians to have peace, right? Let us not be troubled. If in the Father's house there are many mansions, if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. Jesus is very clear that he is the only way. He is the only truth. And he is the only life, right? So we see here, he's talking about, look at his ascension. When he goes to the Father, there's this time of preparation that he's going to do there. And that preparation is for us, to receive us in. And there's a great promise there of his return, that he's going to return at some point. He's not going there forever. He's doing his preparation. And then when the Father says, Son, go to the earth and get him, he's going to come, and he's going to come back. There's a good promise there for us, that return. Then he goes on in verse 7, and he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works of themselves. What was Jesus saying to Philip here? He was saying, Philip, I've been with you, and you want to know the Father. Well, look at me. Jesus wasn't saying, well, I am the Father and the Son. He's just saying, look at, you should be able to see the Father because you see me. Right? There's a witness factor there. Right? You have witnessed me, therefore you should know the Father. For example, when I was telling Karen the other day, you know, she was cutting my hair, and I said, yeah, when my hair gets long, I always remember my dad. Because my hair stands out, and his stood out, and it was all like, you know, I have this hat hair that goes on, and these collects and so forth. And I was, you know, when I look at in the mirror, I go, I see the Father. Well, that's what Jesus was saying. You should be able to see the Father through me, Jesus was saying to the people, to Philip. He was a witness. Why does God say this here in the scripture? I think he's getting us ready for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because as we'll find out, one of the main purposes of the Holy Spirit is that we become a reflection of Jesus. That people see us, and they see him because they see us. Verse 12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, I think of Jesus' great works. His great works were a manifestation of his relationship with the Father. Our great works are manifested in us. Jesus said, "You'll do great works," right? So our great works would be manifested. Why? Because of our relationship with Jesus. You know, we can't take pride in anything that we do that has greatness described. It's interesting. I was listening to any of you sports guys, or women, I guess, you know, that like the NBA. I don't really like the NBA, but I happened to catch the commentating on LeBron. LeBron this week came out and said he's the greatest of all times. In an interview, he said, "I am the greatest of all times." Now there's Michael Jordan. There's a lot of other guys that came before him. And Pippen, a teammate of Michael Jordan, said, "That's downright wrong that he would say such a thing." Well, first of all, it's a big ego that's inflating, right? That you would say that you're great by any means, right? But Pippen said something interesting. He says, "You don't tell yourself that you're great, right? Others say that you're great." And so when people witness us, do they say that Jesus is great? Because let's be honest, church, right? Many people that look at us, they won't say that Jesus is great because of us. Because they've seen the wrong Jesus. They've seen our flesh. They've seen us in action rather than Jesus in action. There's got to be a transformation in our lives in order for us to illuminate who Jesus is. Because on our own, we cannot do it. We cannot sustain it. You know, we have issues. Did you know that? We have issues, and them issues come out after a while. And the only one that can resolve our issues and transform us is Jesus, right? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." I love this verse. You know, Jesus would say, look, at there comes a helper here. That helper is Parakletos. It means comforter. It means one, you know, para means alongside. So it's one that comes alongside. It's more than that, you know, as we'll see in the scripture here that it describes. But the promise here is wonderful because it's that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit comes in and he abides with us forever. That word abide means continues to be present. Continues to be present. And that forever means an unbroken age. There's nothing to break him off from us. Nothing. Remains forever. And notice, it says he. He may abide forever. He is a person, not a thing. Well, what does that matter? Well, it matters because I don't know about you, but I have a hard time having a relationship with this chair over here. That thing, that it, right? But certainly a person I can have a relationship with, right? We can experience a personal bond there. Verse 17, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. Well, we know the Spirit of Truth is the Holy Spirit. One of the benefits of being a Christian is that we have access to the Holy Spirit. We know the Spirit of Truth, right? If we're worldly, if we're without Christ, if we haven't been born again, we don't understand the Holy Spirit, right? We don't understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. We don't understand, you know, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And many times the church freaks people out on the outside about the Holy Spirit. Because there's some radicalness that goes on, right? We get so sidetracked sometimes, don't we? Because when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, what are you thinking about? People think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they're real. They're there, right? There's nothing to be afraid of with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The problem is that a lot of the church will take the gifts of the Holy Spirit and make it the Holy Spirit. No, they're manifested from the Holy Spirit, but they're not the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? It's like, and then the world looks at it and they think we're crazy. And I agree with them. I think some of the church is crazy. They have named the Holy Spirit what it really isn't, and they've defined it in a way that it really isn't. We're not going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit really today much. If I do mention it, it's not going to be much, but they're real. That's a different subject, right? The purpose of the Holy Spirit. Why the Holy Spirit? That's important to us. Use that word know. That word know speaks of an intimacy with God. It's not just a knowledge of God. Matter of fact, the Jews would have an idiom. They would use this as an idiom for a sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. Right? That's how intimate it is to know Him. To know Him. Now to speak to Him. And to converse, right? To have an impact. You know, if you're married, your wife has an impact on you if you're a man. And on the other hand, the man has an impact on the woman, right? I mean, we have impacts. Now, sometimes they're negative and sometimes they're positive. But we have impacts, right? Well, on us and our relationship to the Lord, we should have an impact, right? There should be an impact on from our relationship with the Lord. Because why? Because we know Him. We know His mind. We know what He wants. You know, we have His Word, you know, and so forth. But it's really to know Him, you have to be born again. There's no other way. No other way. You know, dynamite, if you light it, right, and blow up an object, a building or whatever, pieces go all over the place and so forth. This is a little different, but it is supposed to give you that, the expression to everybody that something's happened in you, right? Something's happened, right? Dynamite, the main ingredient to dynamite is nitroglycerin, right? So if you take nitroglycerin out of dynamite, you don't have dynamite. If you take the Holy Spirit out of a person, they don't have dynamite either. They don't have the power that God wants to give them. He, you know, Jesus is saying here, look at truly the baptism. John baptized with water, but he's saying, look at, I'm bringing you a baptism that is greater than that. Much greater, that has power to it. So he says, let's get away from the ritual. Though baptism is a commandment of the Lord, right? To show an inward change, an outward expression to an inward change. But really, what's going to show a person that there's been an inward change is that if there really was an inward change, that the Holy Spirit came in that person and changed them, and they just exploded, right? There's this explosion. There's this, you know, just, you know, a total change in their life that elevated them far above what they were. And God is seen through that. There's a lot of people out there calling themselves Christians, but I wonder if they really are. If they really know Jesus. Because the promise we have when we know Jesus is that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. And then the second promise we have is, Jesus describes it here. He says that the Spirit has come upon you. That word epi, come upon you, is different than the indwelling that Romans 10 seems to indicate. It's something that is open only to the believer, right? But it empowers us to do things. It elevates our game. It's a choice that we have to make. We don't have to have it. But I don't know why you wouldn't. And the reason why you wouldn't is because you're afraid of it. You're afraid of that the Holy Spirit's going to somehow steer you differently. And that baptism, the Holy Spirit, is just going to change my life. It's going to make me explode in a different direction. And sometimes we get afraid of it because of the fanatics that are out there. Power, right? That whole craziness. That scared you, didn't it? Scared me. You know, in chapter 7 of John, verse 37, it says, there it says, on the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, he who is born again, he who has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As the Scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And then it goes on in verse 39 to say, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, right? Because Jesus was not glorified yet. He hadn't ascended yet. It's given. Given. And it's interesting because this word witness here in the next portion of verse 8 there, it says, and in Acts chapter 1, it says, and you shall, so the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Some of your side notes might say, "my witnesses," right? "My witnesses." So the Spirit of God comes upon us. It's not to show off our gifts. It's not to make a spectacle of ourselves on stage and show us how holy you are, how in love with Jesus you are. It's not to show off yourself, right? It's to be a witness. A witness for who? Not a witness of yourself. We don't need that. We need Jesus, right? So the Holy Spirit, the purpose here is so that we would be a witness of the Lord. That word witness is martus. Martus. It's where we get the word martyr. And if you know anything about martyrs, you know, they die for their faith. He wants us to be a witness that is beyond ourselves. That could care less about our own health and wealth. Right? Our own healing. It's beyond that. It's how do I, when I am suffering, how do I, when I am sick, how do I, when I am being tortured or treated poorly or going through these tribulations or trials, how do I become a martus? How do I become that Romans 12:1, right? A living sacrifice. And then, of course, in chapter 2, we see Peter now filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Just phenomenal. I love reading chapter 2. I love it because it's not even Peter, it's all Scripture. Right? As the Holy Spirit was working in him, see, the Holy Spirit taught Peter a lot, didn't he? He had to teach Peter a lot. Peter had a lot to learn, but he also brought back remembrance because we see him writing this. He would write Scripture here in Scripture as the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance those things. So what do we see in the Holy Spirit? See the Holy Spirit, Parakleto, right? That comes aside and convicts a person of their sin. We see Him come and dwell in a believer when they are born again, when they believe in the death and resurrection, they accept it for the remission of their sins. And then we see the gift of the Holy Spirit available to all who believe. But again, they must receive it. You know, if you look at Luke chapter 11, somewhere here. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. It says, if Jesus would say, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I think it's about asking Him for, you know, and it's not a shameful thing not to have it. It's a shameful thing not to want it, I think. It's a shameful thing not to ask when you need a fresh filling. I mean, Peter, Paul, they all did it. You know, just to be filled with His Spirit so that we can be taught, so that we can learn. You know, so that we can be a witness. You know, we can be that Acts 1 Christian that is a witness to others. You know, it's not a witness of Jesus if we go and we perform in the flesh in front of somebody. That's not a witness of Jesus. The witness of Jesus is when we're in a situation that is harsh, that is critical, and that perhaps is very frustrating to us, and we perform. We perform as Jesus would perform it. We say the things that Jesus would say. You know, we would say truth, but it wouldn't be for us. It would be to point towards Him. You know, and I get frustrated with things. I get, you know, some of the code stuff that frustrates me, you know. But, you know, the thing is, we know ourselves, don't we? We know ourselves. When we go into those situations, when I go into that situation, it was kind of funny because I kind of had it out with this one code officer a while back when we sold that house. And I was frustrated with the lack of organization. So I spewed off, it cost us $120 probably. I probably could have got out $120 if I didn't say what was on my mind. But I thought back to that and I said, I don't know if I handled that quite right. Not because I lost $120, but because of my witness, right? And so I went over to the code office the other day and that guy was sitting over there in a corner. And another guy helped me, so I thought this guy was going to come out and do the inspections. You know who showed, didn't you? And it was great. You know, he said things I disagreed with. But I said it in such a way that it wasn't me. I wasn't spewing off at him. I wasn't being nasty to him. I just said, okay, you know, how can I help you? He was like, how can you help me? Yeah, can I call somebody? I can get that number. I can call somebody to get that permit number or whatever. Oh, no, I'll talk to you on Monday. And we left, and it was great, right? But it's like, how do you, you know, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives? To be a witness of who God is. It's not to make me a special Christian. Oh boy, he's got all the gifts. He speaks in tongues. He prophesies. He does all this stuff. Yes. Paul said, love, right? Greater than all those things. You know, so often I've heard people say, well, what's your gift and all that? And that's okay. You know, if you want to inquire about somebody's gift that the Holy Spirit has given them, that's cool. And I think we all should sit back in our quiet times and ask the Lord, Lord, what have you gifted me with so that I can use it to witness to people or proclaim the truth, right? We should do that. But we don't need to get hung up on the gifts. God will show us that. God will show us what we're gifted with. We don't have to sit up on a high horse and say, well, I speak in tongues and you guys got some issues, man. You don't. Maybe you ought to go get saved first. Then you'll speak in tongues. You know, I've heard that before. But allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you. So that you're a witness. You know, I thought about the beginning of the year, you know, and how I would, what I would like to see. You know, don't you do that? What I'd like to see happen this year, Lord. I think we all ought to draw closer to Jesus. Right? We all should be wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should all want to be bolder in our faith. To spread the good news. You know? I heard a lady on the TV one day this week and talking about New Year's resolutions or revolutions. And people go like this. I want to lose 500 pounds, right? Yeah. I'm 510. I want to be down to 10 pounds by the end of the year. No, you know, people do that, don't they? They go, oh, they sign up. It was funny. They sign up for these gyms and they 7 days a week and they don't show. They show up 2 days the first week, half a day the next week, and they show back up New Year's Eve the next year, right? To buy another membership, hoping that they can do this thing, right? But it's good just to say, hey, you know, I want the Lord just to work in my life this year. I want Him to draw me closer and give me more boldness. What's wrong with that? You know, just to have that the Lord's, you know, the funny thing, we don't have to do nothing. We just sit back and let the Lord do it through His Holy Spirit. Yeah. So. Anyways, let's go to Luke chapter 22. The hour has come. I guess I went a little long today, but so the hour has come, and he sat down, verse 14, and the disciples with him, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He desires us to remember him today. He desires us to sit with him today, to sup with him today. He desires us to bring to remembrance the things in which he has done. He desires the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance of what the Lord has done in our lives. And I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup. So let's, why don't we pass out the elements that are done, and we'll just, the interesting thing here is that, you know, we pass out the elements, right? We take the cup. But it says here, that he took the cup and he gave thanks, right? And then he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. So he took the cup and he says, let's divide this up among ourselves. And for us, for them, it wasn't a remembrance. For us, it's a remembrance of what Christ has done. For them, it was what he was going to do, right? So even as we take these elements and we remember what he did, let's pray for what the Lord will do, right, in 2019. What will he do? Not with me, not with somebody that sits next to you, but Lord, what will you do with me this year, Lord? And pray that he would just give you some insight to that, you know, eventually as we walk with him this year, you know, and we talk with him, right? So let's, what do you got, a song or two? Or you have a song, okay. Let's sing that at the end, and let's just take communion together. We've divided it up. It says, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them. This is my body which I give to you. Do this in remembrance of him. All that he's done for us. You know, there's the remembrance of what he's done on the cross for us. That is what we, you know, remember today. But also remember what he did for you last year. How he got you through some things, you know. You know, how he forgave you. How he forgave you of that thing that you struggled with. The sin that beset you, you know. Think about those things. Remember those things. And, you know, and remember, maybe there was a promise or something that the Lord just gave you in Scripture and he fulfilled it. You know, he just brought you through it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your body, for your broken body, Lord, that you broke for us, Father, for the remission of sins, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving your life in place of ours, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. And we remember, Lord, the cost that each of our sins has costed you, Lord, on the cross. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And likewise, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And that's good to remember too, that he shed it for you. It doesn't say shed it for, right here he makes it so personal, doesn't he? That he shed it for you. That it was for you, you know. And that, it wasn't for us, but it was for you. And that's how God thinks of it, you know. So let's partake and remember the shed blood of Christ that washed away our sins. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your loving kindness, Lord. We remember how you just brought us through, Lord. Our sinful acts, Lord, how you forgave them, Lord. How you have given us life, Lord. How you came to dwell in us, Lord. How you came to come upon us, Lord. How you have you instructed us and taught us, and how you have upheld us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we walk, Lord, that we would be witnesses for you, Lord. We'd show your love to others, Lord. And Father, that they would see the Holy Spirit in us, Lord, the fruit that comes out of our lives that would show you, Lord. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.